First of all, let's go to France and the attack in the southern coastal city of Nice, where Bastille celebrations turned into what could be an attack by an Islamist radical. A white truck sped along almost 2 kilometres of the promenade, leaving a trail of bodies. More than 80 people have died, and the man responsible has been identified as a 31-year-old man who had dual French-Tunisian nationality. It's reported that he was separated from his wife and children. His father has apparently said he also was mentally disturbed. Now, investigations continue into the motive as to whether he was acting alone, but it is the latest in a series of attacks since the Charlie Hebdo killings in January 2015. So to discuss why France continues to be the target of Islamist terror and how the French will pick themselves up once again from a mass disaster, I'm joined by Emma-Kate Simons. She's a journalist and foreign correspondent based in Paris for the Australian Financial Review. She calls Paris most of the time her home. Emma-Kate, welcome to Saturday Extra.
Thanks, Andrew, though I will have to update you because I actually am based these days in Washington, D.C., but I go back to Paris regularly where I was a correspondent. In fact, I'll be there in 10 days.
You certainly will.
And I no longer write for Financial Review, but I occasionally contribute to The Australian, Women in the World, the New York Times. But I write a lot on France and covered the attacks of November last year, just so you know.
Absolutely. Very good credentials. There's no question of that. Emma-Kate's an old friend, I should confess. And Clark Jones, counter-terrorism expert and visiting fellow at the Australian National University. Welcome, Clark.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Now, I'm going to put to you a question that keeps whirling around. Emma-Kate, why France? Why again France?
Well, why France? France is the number one target for Islamic State and has been since 2014, when it was named as really the country to attack. There's several reasons. There was an excellent piece by Jason Burke in The Guardian today, and it's so multifaceted. But France is targeted because it really is the standard bearer of secular Western liberalism. It poses a direct threat in terms of its values to those of Islamic State and other jihadist organizations. But it's also been militarily involved, obviously, in Syria and Iraq and in Africa. So I think it's really, the US these days comes a close second, but France is really battling on all fronts, and evidently it has a problem with a homegrown, semi-homegrown terrorism problem, because young men who have either lived in France for a long time or are born there are being attracted to this extremist Islamist ideology. And then others would also point to the fact that there's obviously a problem with integration of a Muslim minority in France, but that's not the only story.
Clark, from your perspective, why is France, a target yet again, and of such particularly, vicious attacks? These lone wolf attacks now, using something as simple as a truck.
Well, I mean, you've got to remember there was the call for the Islamic State. I'm not necessarily suggesting this is an Islamic State attack, but there are sort of signs of it. But they did call for people to, pick up arms and drive a car over people. So the idea is not new, but whether this is an Islamic State or whether it's some crazed loner, if I can use those terms, it's hard to know. But France also has a lot of aggrieved minority communities, or Muslim minority communities. Again, I don't want to relate this attack to Muslims or to Islams, but there's a lot of angry young men, and I think France has got a lot to do to try and bridge those sorts of gaps between marginalised people and greater society. I mean, you've got a lot of young people who don't feel attached in France.
But Clark, even if it wasn't organised by ISIL, then it's surely ISIL inspired. I mean, isn't that the new model? You're an expert in counter-terrorism. Well, we don't have to have these sort of organised cells. It's basically just radicalise yourself, do what you can.
That's exactly right. I mean, in the olden days when I was in police and in intelligence, we did look for solid links between terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda or Jamaa Islami, and we're closer to this region. But these days you don't have to actually be a member of the group. You've got people who attach themselves to the ideology, and that makes it very, very difficult, because you've got, if this case involves just one lone individual, then it's very, very difficult for police or security agencies. And I don't believe he had any sort of police record. So, you know, in some cases, people have, they've had sort of petty crime or violent crime. And I think this guy had some sort of violent offences as well. But so they've come to the police for that, those sorts of crimes, but not for any terrorism-related issues. So it's extremely difficult. The more organised a group, of course, the easier it is for police and security and intelligence to pick them up and create some sort of disruptive action to prevent the attacks. But when you've got these lone individuals, it's extremely difficult. So, I mean, France is probably going through some sort of desperate review of their intelligence arrangements, but I'm just not sure if that's going to be very helpful.
Yeah, I'll come to that in a moment. Emma Kate, you were in Paris just a couple of months ago. There were scenes of great solidarity, of course, in November. How are the French going to cope yet again being under attack?
Well, I think this is really this is the test case, because already the signs of an absolutely fractured and divided society are there. And Francois Hollande went to Nice today and he was booed. People called him a murderer. People are so angry and furious and so exhausted by this coming again. And what we're seeing this time, I think that makes a big difference with November and also January of last year, the Charlie Hebdo attacks, is that the political elite, there's absolutely no pretense that those on the centre-right and the far right should be in solidarity with the government. So the attacks have come immediately from the centre-right, Les Républicains Party, who have criticised the Hollande government for an absolute failure of intelligence and security, for not listening to last week's commission into the November reports of last year, the recommendation that they set up a Department of Homeland Security. So this huge debate and fight about whether France should become even more of a security state. And François Hollande has just declared, actually, that he's extending the state of emergency. But the sad and disturbing reality is that extending the state of emergency and upping the ante and bringing in army reservists is not going to really make much more difference. And in fact, if you go to Gilles Kepel, who is an Islam specialist and academic from Sciences Po, he's been studying this phenomenon for years, and he calls it third-generation jihadism. It's bottom-up. It's jihadism of your neighbour, like the next door. And basically, these relatively young men are listening to the orders of Islamic State, in particular, to attack where they are. And in fact, on Thursday, on the day the day the attacks occurred, a French journalist called David Thompson, who has studied and is in contact with jihadists, found a video posted by a French jihadist directly linked to Islamic State saying, get rid of your tickets to Turkey. Don't come and join us over here, i.e. in Syria and Iraq. Stay there and attack from home.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we don't know if this Bouhel Elman has actually had any direct link with these organisations. At this moment, he looks to not have a direct link, but it's still being explored. It also looks like he's actually followed the orders to go and do an attack, commit an attack on his own.
Now, Clark, Emma Kate mentioned there the whole swirling rumours about the intelligence failures, etc. A French parliamentary investigation into last year's terrorist attacks in Paris identified multiple failings by France's intelligence agencies. You're not sold on the idea, though, that this was completely due to intelligence failure, as I understand it.
Oh, look, not at all. I mean, you can have these... You can build walls, you can have more guns, you can have less civil liberties, you can do all these sorts of things. But at the end of the day, unless you develop solid relationships, develop equality and get rid of, to help fight against discrimination and work a lot more closely with minority communities in partnership to solve the problem, I don't think you're going to get very far. And I think we sort of focus too much on this, on the sharp end of activities. And there's sort of new work done on what's called justice reinvestment, where rather than spending, I plucked the figure, $500 million on extra surveillance and police, but put it towards the social service networks to deal with some of the underlying social issues. Unless we deal with those underlying social issues, we're going to continue to have these sorts of problems. And I mean, it's not the only solution, but it's going to do a lot more rather than these band-aid solutions with extra intelligence and extra security, extra policing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I've only got a couple of minutes for you both left, but Clark, President Hollande said yesterday that France will be stepping up its actions in Syria and Iraq to hit those who attack the country. He's clearly working on the assumption that this was an ISIL attack, even though it hasn't been confirmed to the media. But is this the action that people want the government to take?
Oh, look, certainly. You saw it with 9/11 and going into Afghanistan. I mean, is it going to solve the situation? No, it's not. Again, you're not addressing the internal problems within the country. So, look, it looks great to the people and to the right of the community. It's what everyone wants to see. I'm sure if the same thing happened to Australia, Australians want to see the same sort of thing happen. But it's not the solution. They're going to have to do these long-term strategies again of building more solid community relationships. But in this case, could be simply someone with a mental health issue. So we don't want to jump to the conclusion.
Can I just step in there?
Sure, Emma Kate. We've only got about 40 seconds.
I just have to quickly disagree, because all the work the French could do on discrimination and helping minority communities will not change the fact that it is being targeted by radical Islamist ideology. It's mainly an imported Salafi jihadist worldview that's come in the past from Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and places like Qatar. And so there's a battle for ideas. It's not just about structural change and improving the equality of the minority community. I think that that's too much of an easy out. In fact, these people are doing this for religious reasons as well as ideological and as well as social exclusion reasons. So I don't think we can just focus on the social exclusion, because that will definitely not end the problem. It's a battle of ideas. That's actually.
Yeah, no, I think we're both agreed on that. Terrific to talk to you both. Emma Kate Simons, a journalist, former France-based foreign correspondent. She now writes for The Australian, The New York Times, and also runs a service servicing African publications. And Clark Jones, counter-terrorism expert and visiting fellow at the ANU. I thank you both, Emma Kate and Clark, for being on Saturday Extra.